Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast, counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture, one top five at a time. And now, here are the Two Peas.
When the truth is found, Two Peas.
What's up, world? Welcome into another episode of The Peas.
Ah, The Peas.
The Two Peas.
You know, you cheat on me a lot. There are many peas. There are many peas. You say two peas on the podcast, it's like 13 peas on the podcast.
I have more than that. It's a lot. I get it wrong. So we do. We do the guest host, but me and you get together.
When you're with the guest host, they're the pea.
They're the other pea. They're the second pea.
So let's just face it. There's nothing special about me.
There is something special about you because you're the OG two peas.
OGP.
Or we're the OG two peas.
OGP.
Yeah. I mean, you got it.
Are you down with OGP?
Are you down with OGPs?
Nah.
Yeah. No one is. That's not how that goes. Welcome into another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. What do we do here? We do top five countdowns. What are we counting down today, brother?
Today, we're counting down the top five Jim Carrey movies.
Well, let's talk about it before we get into our... Let's talk about it before we get into our list. Andy, by the way, Gerald's here.
Andy isn't.
And the Two Peas. And before we get into our list, Mr. Jim Carrey, we're talking about a little bit in the pre-recording segment, but this guy means something to you,
brother. Yeah, he changed my
life. So talk about that real quick.
So growing up was a normal kid from a normal town. When I saw Jim Carrey for the first time on In Living Color, I had a friend named Andrew Fair, and we used to watch it every week. We loved him. We loved doing impersonations of him. He was the first actor, entertainer, comedian, besides like Michael Jackson, that really meant something to me. Like, I love this guy. He spoke to me. And then I remember I was at the movie going to see Batman Returns, the second Michael Keaton Batman movie, and we saw a preview for Ace Ventura. And I didn't know who it was at first.
I guess
and
it
in
was
the preview, he's driving a car with his head out the window, and he catches a bullet in his teeth. And when he goes back to catch the bullet, he looks like, I was like, oh my gosh, that's Fire Marshal Bill. He made a movie.
Classic.
And I saw Ace Ventura.
So you were a fan of his
Jim
prior
Carrey,
to his film.
I mean, I didn't have my whole spiritual kind of comedic awakening until 15, but Jim Carrey was the first guy I was impersonating and like, he was the first guy I was mimicking and the whole, you know what I'll say. It's not just me. He was like that for
He was
for a whole generation, for my generation, he was the Jerry Lewis. He was the Seinfeld. He was the comedian.
I love that dude, man. Yeah. And you know what I'll say to piggyback on what you're saying about Jim Carrey's career in general is I agree that he was very transformative for a lot of young people in the 90s
when he
kind of rose to fame. And I don't want to give away too many titles, but I mean, what I'll say about Jim Carrey, and this is my personal opinion, I feel like it would probably be a majority opinion. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, I haven't heard a ton of people say this. But what I like about him is I feel like he's the next, or if you want to say this generation's like Robin Williams.
Oh, absolutely.
Like he's very, he can very easily do like slapstick kind of impersonation comedy.
Better than anyone. Better than anyone.
But he can also flip a switch and do just dramatic Oscar caliber acting. Do you know what I mean?
And it's not just slapstick. It's not just that he's funny, and he is.
Right.
It's the control he has over his body, which no other comedian has ever had. It is a movie called, it's actually not on my list. It's on my honorable mentions. I'll go ahead and give it to you. It's called Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah, sure.
And in that
Fairly
movie,
Brothers.
He plays a guy with split personalities, and he gets in a fight with himself, throws himself out of a car, picks himself back up, shimmies over, and throws himself back in the car.
Right.
So his control over his body is amazing, and you're right. His career, the things he's gone, the you know, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, the movies he's done, he's such a unique talent.
Right.
There's no one like him.
Very versatile. Yeah. And he's very reminiscent of Robin Williams.
I would go our generation's Charlie Chaplin.
Okay.
Because he's just, and of course Robin Williams has that as well. But for me, Jim Carrey he's amazing. And of course he doesn't make movies. I'd love to see what would happen if he got behind.
Yeah, no,
I don't know if he's interested.
That would be. Did you ever see Kidding on Showtime? Do you know
he has
a television show on Showtime?
I don't have Showtime.
I haven't seen it.
I don't have all the
I haven't seen it either. My daughter raves about it. She's a Jim Carrey fan.
And she's also a filmmaker. She's studying filmmaking.
She wants to do film editing. Yeah, she's like, you gotta watch Kidding, because it's like somebody just said, you do whatever the hell you want, Jim Carrey. This is your character. This is, you know, he's a co-producer on the show, mm-hmm. so he's got a lot to do behind the scenes as well.
Really?
But I don't know if he's written any of the dialogue.
I got to get that.
But the show is about, it's like a modern day twist kind of on the Mr. Rogers story. Mm-hmm. Do you know about the show? He portrays a character
that's kind of at the end of his TV host.
Yeah, but he's at the end of his fame for that okay. because, you know, times are changing. Everybody's on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
So it takes place in like current time.
Okay.
But he had a very successful children's show, and now he's trying to figure out what he's going to do.
Who am I without this? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen it, but I've heard amazing things. He's been nominated for like Emmys for it and things like that.
Really?
And I want to say the second or third season just started. So it's a fairly new show.
Dude,
as well.
I don't have Showtime. I wonder if it, I have
obviously,
to check it out somewhere.
Obviously, we're just doing movies today, but I wanted to mention that because that's kind of like his current like labor of love that he's really absolutely. Into right now. So if you, I know you don't have Showtime, but eventually I imagine it'll be on Prime or mm-hmm. Hulu or something like that. Yeah. I want to give it a watch when I
absolutely.
Have when I have something other than Showtime to watch it on.
It's interesting you mentioned Jim Carrey, Just Do What You Want. When he first got the role for Ace Ventura, that's what they told him. They gave him completely free reign to do whatever he wanted. And it's funny, in an interview I saw, he didn't think it would work. Like, because they let him do whatever he wanted, he didn't think, this is not going to work, dude.
Right, this is a tragedy.
Kind of a flash in the pan. You know, it's going to be funny for some people. You know, there's all these kind of movies.
It'd like be that. Like an SNL skit.
They went, yeah, exactly. They went to the premiere, and from the opening scene of him walking in with the box,
which you mentioned in our opening scenes.
Yes, the crowd went wild.
I loved it.
And him and the producer, him and the Shanigan, whatever, the guy who made it, looked at each other, and they're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
like,
we got something
so
here.
That's when he realized, like, oh.
We got something here.
Yeah. So he didn't even know.
Well, we're going to do, and I highly, highly, highly doubt it, that it would have made the top five. I mean, I don't know, maybe, but he's currently starring in the new Sonic the Hedgehog film that just came out. Me and my son are going to go see it, but I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
I haven't seen that. And so, I never saw, like, he did Megamind.
But, you know,
I never saw that one either.
But, you know, he's the best part of a lot of that stuff that you think is going to be a piece of crap, but he just brings, like,
a new
life to it.
He's the best part of everything. It's
true. That's true.
I don't want to get into too much, but A Series of Unfortunate Events, not a great movie. That's pushing into my top five.
Right. I disagree. I think it is a great movie, but I don't want to get into the top five quite yet. But I do love it.
Olaf, I mean, it's not a great movie, but it's Count Olaf. He's wonderful.
Now, to your point, if somebody else had been in that role, piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so I do agree with you from that standpoint.
Dude, it's Count Olaf. He's wonderful.
All right. Well,
he's Count Olaf playing the sailor with one leg. Man, what a leg.
So we'll get into maybe some discussion about that film and some other films in his filmography. We're not doing TV. We're only doing movies today. But we're doing our top five Jim Carrey movies.
Five, four, three, two, one.
And here we go.
Who's going first?
Mr. Jim Carrey, if you're listening, we love you.
Yeah,
this is a celebration of your filmography and just you, dude. Like, you're just an artist. We were looking at your art on Twitter earlier. I mean, his actual art.
If you are listening, Jim, not only your artistry, but your arc in life, the way you engage life, the way you are unabashed about your artistry and about how you consider and talk about the world. I mean, I just love you, man.
I do too. Yeah. You want to go first? You love Jim Carrey.
I'll go
first on this one, and then I'll go on sports.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to do our top five Jim Carrey movies. Andy's up first for his number five.
Number five. This was the first movie that some people considered a serious role for him. He had made four or five movies in a row. All were hilarious. All were crazy funny. And then Jim Carrey comes along and makes a movie called The Truman Show. Mm-hmm. Now, I love The Truman Show. I love the movie. It has Jim Carrey as the center of this entire artificially created world. And for him, coming out of the crazy zany stuff, this was perfect for him because he got to play the center of this world, and his arc and his figuring out, like, you know, that this is artificial, and then coming to the end when, you know, he's trying to get away, and there's this beautiful scene at the end where, you know, he's in the boat, they're actually trying to, you know, capsize the boat. Finally, he reaches the edge of this megadome, mm-hmm. and it clicks mm-hmm. for him the reality that I am stuck, and they have this scene of him banging on the wall, crying, and I tell you,
it's crazy, man.
Truman Show is probably one of my favorite Jim Carrey movies, meaning the movie is so good, I cry every time. The Truman Show is my number five, friend.
Well, I gotta say, low, brother. was low. I love The Truman Show, and I'll be talking about it later, but it is much higher on my list.
Well, I want to tell you earlier that my top five could go in any freaking order.
Right.
So I don't want you to think that this is low.
Right. No, they're all tied, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's like you throw them in a basket and you pick one out.
Exactly. So, Truman Show, I'm just...
Your point, I'll get my 500 second, but to your point, I mean, he's one of those actors, right? Where you could literally take... 30 of his films, throw them in a bucket, and anyone you draw out, you can throw on the TV and love it.
Pick one. Yeah.
Like, it's like they're all just great, one. And they're all so memorable.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be talking about it later, so I'll save a little bit of my commentary for that film, but I absolutely love that film, and I'll talk about why I feel like it's one of the most pivotal in his career.
I'll give you just a few of the things, and then we'll talk about it again later. The actors around him, the girl who plays his wife.
Laura Linney.
Yeah, she, the way she puts in the marketing in there, and you should try to get one of those new elk rotaries. Mm-hmm. When he's talking to the mowers. and the best friend. So the world around him, as far as a producing and a directing standpoint, the world around him is so artificial. Mm-hmm. The radio talks to him, but because he's been raised in this environment, he doesn't know until it starts breaking down. The first thing he sees is one of the stars falls out of the sky, and it's a camera. Oh, not a camera, it's a light.
Right.
So to watch him
kind of figure
realize,
out.
And of course, to watch the world watching him.
Right.
This was before the advent of reality TV.
I was going to say, yeah,
before
it was kind
Kardashians,
of...
Kardashians, before, yeah.
Right, it was kind of prophetic in that
way. To show the world follow him and cheer for him, and it's such a groovy perspective.
It really is.
And Jim Carrey does such a good job.
I agree.
And he met the one girl for just like a day, and she was pulled away, and him using the magazines to try to recreate her face, and, his kind love affair.
Right,
with
he was using the cutouts of her.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, so I know we'll talk about it later, but this is a great movie.
Amazing
man.
Film. And I feel like it was very, and we'll talk about it when it comes up on my list, but I feel like it was very transformative for his career, too.
Yes.
And I'll talk a little bit about why.
That was the first one. That was the first
dramatic. Yeah. Right. I'll talk a little bit about why. We saw hints of it in another one that's coming up on my list, but I'll talk about it later. Mm. All right, so my number five is not that. Okay. My number five is pure classic slapstick.
Give it to me, Daddy.
But I love 1994's Dumb and Dumber.
You're it. Quincy's.
Any Quincy's.
You're it, Quincy's. No, any Quincy's, no Starcy's.
You can't do that.
Can't
do. Cannot. Stamped it. Can't do. Double stamped it. No erases. Cannot. Triple stamped it. No erases. Touch blue, make it true.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd. You
guys. Enough.
Hey. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio or something?
Radio? Who needs a radio? Ready, Harry? Mock!
Yeah!
Ing!
Yeah!
Bird!
Yeah!
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 Mockingbird, don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, she's gonna buy me a diamond ring.
Ding, 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 ding.
It's my number five. This is one of the most quotable films. Like, we could literally relive scenes and
I've got worms.
Scenes.
No, that's the name of the store. I've got worms.
I mean, I absolutely love some of the one-liners that come out of this movie.
Check, please.
Goodbye, my love. She's leaving. He's just so infatuated. He just met her,
I desperately want to make love to a schoolboy. Wait, I mean...
So you're telling me there's a chance?
We could sit here and go through the whole movie.
But instead of doing that, what I want to tell is the story.
I just laughed thinking, got a little cold coming to the pastor.
What I want to tell, instead of reliving quotes from the movie, and I know it'll probably come up on your list later, but instead of doing that, what I want to do is just tell a quick story about why this movie meant so much to me in particular.
Okay.
So 1994 was the year I graduated high school.
Okay.
So I was a senior in high school. My sister would have been in middle school. She would have been entering high school the following year. And her and I went to see this in the theater together.
Really?
And prior to that, you know, she was probably 11 or 12 mm-hmm. at the time this came out. So prior to that, it was more like family films.
Yeah.
Like our parents would take us.
Yeah.
You know, but I was driving. So mm-hmm. it was kind of cool. I was like, we'll take my sister to the movies. And I don't know if it was the first, but it was definitely one of the first films that her and I saw alone without our parents in the theater.
Yeah. That's
and
cool.
I can remember seeing it. And of course, it's stupid. I mean, it's its name. It's yeah. Dumb and Dumber. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what it's meant to be. There's no like, you know, dramatic plot or yeah. anything. It's just meant to be silly. And we just like could not stop laughing. And I'm talking about when the movie was over. Yeah. Like, we're literally, of course, I mean, we were literally like two drunk people stumbling through the parking lot.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Like, our laughter was just intoxicating. Mm-hmm. I can remember my sister running into one of the handicap signs in the parking lot because mm-hmm. she was laughing so hard. She like ran into it. So then we were laughing about that. And we were like reliving our favorite scenes of the movie as we were walking to the car. And it was just so hilarious to us. And of course, it is hilarious. But we just got such a kick out of it. And at the time, we were like, oh, this is such a stupid movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we enjoyed it, like fart jokes or whatever, fine. But it's like, nobody's going to care about this movie. But like, this really showcased Jim Carrey and his comedic,
mm-hmm.
like you were talking about kind of his physical comedy and just like his over the top silliness.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And he took it to another
but this is a new level.
Dumb and Dumber, brother.
Yes, it's a new level. Now, this is my number four, so let's go ahead and bridge.
Oh, go ahead. Okay,
let's
cool.
Let's go ahead and bridge. Before he made Dumb and Dumber, every movie Jim Carrey made, the three or four before that, maybe three, were all dependent upon him physically, mm-hmm. meaning that he's the reason it's funny. He's the reason it's funny. Dumb and Dumber comes along. Who's the director?
Jeff Di- Oh, the director.
The producers. It's pretty famous producers, right? It's not Farrelly Brothers. It's not Coen Brothers. Is it one of those?
Let's see. I got it right here. Buddy. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is Peter Farrelly. You're right.
So it's one of the Farrellys.
Yeah, it's just one of them.
So, and it's a duo. It's him and Jeff Daniels. And Jeff Daniels is, quote, the straight man, but he's not the straight man because he's also stupid
he's
as well.
Also dumb.
So this, dumb. You're right. This took it to a different level. Finally, he's, not finally, but he's working with a director who really knows comedy and really sets up situations around him where he's like, no, you just be you in this character
right.
and we'll put these situations around you. His working off Jeff Daniels, they are wonderful together.
So good.
You know, the way they talk about the worm store, the way you are one pathetic loser. No offense.
I love it.
The way just there, you know, Samson. Why don't you look on the case?
Samsonite. Man, I was way off.
I knew it started with an S though. But I feel like in the evolution of his quote,
so good,
in the
bro.
Evolution of his comedy movies, this was a big step for him.
Sure.
Because it was him and another guy equally.
Sure.
Their relationship.
Those co-stars.
Within
right.
a context of humor all around right. him.
Who's the dumb and who's the dumber, do you think?
You never know.
Who do you think?
I think Jim Carrey's the, well, obviously Jim Carrey's the dumb and Jeff Daniels is the dumber.
You think so?
But because Jim Carrey thinks he's smart, it could be the other way around.
Right. It just cracks me up, man. So many.
Hey, they have the Beatles. They were a big influence on the Monkees. The other way around. Yeah. What's the soup of du jour? The soup of the day. That's good. I'll have that.
That sounds good. I'll have that. Yeah, I love it. You could quote it all day long, brother.
Now, I'm going to tell you, of the people I talk about Jim Carrey a lot, Dumb and Dumber is the movie that comes up the most.
Yeah.
It's the one, the most quotable, and two, the one people like the most.
Yeah, and it really...
It transcends just Jim Carrey
Now, you know,
fans.
People like us and people that would be considered Jim Carrey kind of, you know, pure fans, knew In Living Color, knew some that might be mentioned here in a minute, but Dumb and Dumber was when, like, everybody knew
yes.
it. Yes, like,
that's
after
true.
Dumb and Dumber came out because it made a lot of money.
Yes.
It was a blockbuster still loved today. Yeah. Jeff Daniels was a pretty, not serious actor, but I mean, he had, was known
I
for
I know,
doing...
and he comes on the scene.
Right.
Pull over. No, it's a cardigan.
But thanks for noticing.
Cool boots, man. It's so good. You're right. So Jeff Daniels comes. And I think you're right. I think this is the first Jim Carrey movie that was popular beyond Jim Carrey.
Right.
Because you could argue that Dumb and Dumber is not a Jim Carrey movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the other movies on my, well, at least two of them are Jim Carrey movies.
Right. I mean, it's just him.
Put him, do what you want.
Right.
But I mean, that's my number four.
So far we have nothing but 100% crossover.
Okay. So Truman Show was my number five. Dumb and Dumber was your number four. Dumb and Dumber was my number four. No, sorry. Truman Show was my number five.
Right.
Dumb and Dumber was your number five. Right. Dumb and Dumber's my number four. Now give us your number.
Yeah, my number four. My number four is a film that came out. I want to say it was the next movie he did after Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
There may have been one in between that I'm forgetting, but it came out in 1996. So let me just set this up. Why this made my list and why this will always be one of my favorite Jim Carrey movies, I feel like this is one of the ones that even 20 years from now would not be recycled out of my top five. It'll always be my top five.
Give it to me, Daddy.
And we talked a little bit about this with Truman Show earlier. In this movie, you start to see a little bit, because it is a comedy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not slapstick per se, but it is a comedy. But you start to see him kind of share different parts of his talent mm-hmm. with us.
Emotional depth, maybe different emotions.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
What we call negative emotions.
Thank you for giving me that term. His emotional depth. Absolutely. This was not a pure, like, just Jim Carrey being silly. Mm-hmm. He was that in this movie, but he was also many, many more things. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, frightening at times. And I loved it, but it's Ben Stiller's The Cable Guy from 1996 is my number four.
One thing. I have this friend, and he gave his cable guy $50, and then he got all the movie channels for free. Did you ever hear of anything like that?
You mean illegal cable?
Yeah.
Who told you that? What is his name? I want it.
Oh, forget it.
You're offering me a bribe. What you have just done is illegal. And in this state, if convicted, you could be fined up to $5,000 or spend 6 months in a correctional facility.
Oh, please. No, that was dumb. I was just making conversation. Forget it.
I'm just jerking your chin. You are too easy.
Wake up, little snoozy. Smell the smelling salt.
I'll juice you up.
Did this make your list?
Now let's go ahead and talk about it, because this is beautiful. I love you so much, Gerald. This is my number. This is my number three.
We are crossing
this
over.
This is my number three. Yeah.
All right.
And arguably, now my top three can go in any direction.
Right.
At all. Like Cable Guy, I love.
Okay. Well, I talked a little bit about.
Love.
We could just have an open conversation about it then, because it's coming up on your list. But
it is, right next, it's my next
your
one.
Three. Yeah. So for me, it was a dark comedy. Right.
It's a very dark comedy.
It was directed by Ben Stiller, who I also love, by the way, and he kind of rose to fame in the 90s as well. And this is him behind the camera. He also did, from a director standpoint, a movie called Reality Bites, which I liked a couple years before this.
Ben Stiller did Reality Bites?
Yeah, he's a director, yeah. He was also in it, but he was a director.
I had no idea. Yeah, yeah.
So he's a good filmmaker, and I like his kind of twist on comedy and making it a little dark.
Because this was
But what
very
Jim
dark.
Carrey did very in this dark. Movie, man, is like... like I said, he was very scary, almost like a stalker kind of role.
Yeah.
But as the viewer, you also kind of felt for him, and you were sympathetic to his situation.
Yeah.
You don't know if it was mental illness, perhaps, or just loneliness that was kind of depression that might be taking him. You didn't really know.
My mom worked a lot, but the TV was always there for me.
Right.
The TV was always there for me.
So we start to see Jim Carrey go, you know what, guys? I'm funny, but I can do some other stuff that can either scare you or make you feel emotions for me. And I feel like, you know, the depth of Cable Guy at its face value, like when they were doing the marketing campaign for it, and when you see the posters, you don't really know what you're getting into until you see it.
Jim Carrey
but when
the
you
cable
see
guy.
It yeah when you see it you go, I kind of feel for this guy. I'm kind of scared of him. I kind of feel for him. I want to be his friend, because I want to help him out, but he doesn't know how to handle the friendship when Ben Stiller kind of agrees to, you know, be friends with him.
No, not Ben Stiller. Who's the
oh, not Ben Stiller,
the short guy.
Did I say Ben Stiller?
Matthew Broderick.
I said Ben Stiller, but I meant Matthew Broderick. Sorry about it. Ferris Bueller.
Because at first they hit it off. And at first it's Jim Carrey
and
in
Jim
that
Carrey
movie.
Jim Carrey doesn't know how to do it.
Jim Carrey, one of the incarnations is Ernie Douglas. And I just want to say so many things.
Go ahead. So it's your number three.
My number three.
All right,
so
go ahead. You're next. Go ahead.
So many things. At this point, he had been doing so many different things. You saw it a little bit in Dumb and Dumber. This time, he takes a broad, extravagant character and he channels it. He's this character the whole time.
Right.
Now, he does a lot of slapstick stuff, but he's channeled into one character.
Right.
You know,
he becomes it.
Yes. Cable guy. You know, here's the comment card. Please fill it out and give it to me when I'm done. Does this go to your company? No, it goes to me. I'm kind of a perfectionist.
Right.
Oh, the old McNair place. I didn't think they'd get the floors clean after what happened in here. What happened? They had a lot of cats. Just like, but he channels it like, so it's him being zany, but zany in this little tiny box that he shoves himself into that makes it even more. So that's wonderful. You're right. It's dark. He's disturbing, but you also like him. Like, you want to hang out with him. Like, you're like Matthew Broderick, you're that character. That's the eyes you're seeing him through. And you want to hang out with him because you feel bad for him. He's like, why don't we hang out? I'll take you up to see how this whole thing works. Yeah, we should do that sometime. How about tomorrow?
Right.
You got
he doesn't know how to handle
it. Pick you up. And then he comes, picks him up, and they have a great time. They go to medieval times.
Right.
Let me see your skin.
Medieval times is great.
Silence of the Lambs.
One of my favorite things in medieval times, real quick, is Janine Garofalo, who has a cameo in that movie. She's the waitress.
There
are no utensils
in medieval times, therefore you are no utensils at medieval times. Would you like a refill on that Pepsi? There weren't utensils, but there was Pepsi. Dude, I have a lot of tables.
Dude, I've got other tables.
And the look on his face. And when they fight.
I love it.
No, I give some of the Ninth here free cable. They just thought it'd be cool if we go at it for a while. I'm telling you, these knights get laid all the time.
I love it, dude.
And when they're fighting,
yeah.
If we do not fight to the death, they will kill us both.
He's reenacting Star Trek in that, yeah.
But his whole, as he gets darker and darker and darker.
And what is kind of a backdrop to, I don't know who the writer is, I apologize, but the backdrop to the screenplay and to the story.
Did Ben Stiller not write it?
No, I don't think so. Okay. No. The story, what's interesting is it's kind of a social commentary
on the OJ case, on TV.
Well, on TV in general, but OJ case for sure, yeah. Because of the times that it came out. But what I was going to say is it's a social commentary very much on letting screens and TVs raise your kids, which people do. And I'm guilty of it. Yeah. I'll tell you right now. I mean, my kid has an iPad. He's 6.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if he's screaming, acting like a maniac, I'm like, here, bro, like fucking watch something.
And
you know, leave me alone. You know
what I mean?
So it happens, you know, and as parents, we have to try to balance between that and actual, you know, human relationships.
And as far as great.
You know, Jim Carrey's character didn't have that. I mean, he had screens.
Yeah.
He didn't have a human connection.
Dude.
And when he's presented with what could be a great friendship, he doesn't know what to do with it. And it implodes, right? So it's a very dark premise that Jim Carrey somehow makes fun.
And
right?
There's a wonderful scene. I talk about good storytelling. A couple of things. One, you realize he's raised by TV. The TV was always there for him. And he takes on the TV personalities.
Right.
He says, I'm Ernie Douglas, but some people call me Chip. And that's from My Three Sons.
Right.
Later on, he calls himself Larry Tate,
right.
Which is from like
Dream of Genie, right, yeah.
But there's one scene where he's actually laying in his car and he's just sitting there watching TV.
Right.
And he's not blinking. He's just staring at it. And a spider crawls
right.
his face.
Right.
He doesn't even feel it.
Right.
So it's that kind of storytelling. Plus, what you were mentioning, and this is just good storytelling, while we're watching the relationship between Ernie Douglas and Matthew Broderick's character, I forgot his character's name in the movie, the parallel is the entire country getting sucked into this court case. And that's why I said it's like the OJ thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's watching it. Everyone can't. So the entire country is sucked into this case. So that's the parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get to the very end, when, you know, of course, they climb the tower, he's taking the girlfriend hostage with a staple gun.
Right.
You know, and they get it to the very top. He goes, you know, what's your plan? He goes, well, I don't really have a plan. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. But this is a pretty cool place for an ending. And finally, he falls off.
So he's living out
and
a
right
television.
Before the verdict, right before they give the verdict and everybody's on the edge of their seats, he hits the top of the big
satellite
and it all goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody starts picking up books, reading, talking to their families.
Right.
And then it restarts again because he's taken by the helicopter doctor.
Yeah.
He said, hey, buddy, hang in there. Hey, am I really your buddy?
Right. And then it's all starting over again.
The way Jim Carrey does this completely comical, dark, not sociopath, but, you know, mentally ill guy is just wonderful. It's
right.
Beautiful.
I agree. Last two things I want to mention about Cable Guy, and then we can move on, is one of my favorite scenes in all of Jim Carrey movies. It might be my number one or two scene is the karaoke scene.
Oh.
Somebody to Love by Jefferson Airplane.
I fought the law and the law won.
Yeah, I mean, just too good, bro. And then the other thing I want to mention.
We just had a baby born and left out of the audience, ladies and gentlemen. We need an ambulance by the scuppertone.
Yeah. He's just reenacting that whole Jefferson
Airplane. And he goes, oh, beautiful.
And the last thing is on the movie poster. It's such a great tagline. I love when they do this, but they said, there's no such thing as free cable. It's the tagline for that movie, which I love.
So my friend told me about, giving the cable guy $50 and get all the pay channels for free. You ever heard anything about that?
Well, that was
talking
my...
talking about free cable? What's his name? I want it. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So that was my number four. That was your number three, the cable guy. So I guarantee, so far 100% crossover, and I can guarantee you crossover on this one.
Okay, this
or
is...
I would imagine.
Should I switch my list
up?
I'm lost in the sexy beauty that is Jim Carrey. We're at your number three.
We're up to my number three
okay,
now. And I can guarantee you, again, crossover. Should I change it?
No, don't change it. Be you.
This is one of the two I would have...
Be you.
Guessed. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
That's my number two!
So yeah, back and
so
forth.
So we're just back and forth. I can't believe... Because we're going to run out of mine. I wonder what's your... What we're getting up there for you.
I don't know, man.
Okay. So Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, your three and my two.
A ton of crossover. A ton of crossover. I mean, again, so quotable, bro. A movie that, you know, if you knew him on A Living Color, that was cool. But kind of like what you said, you go to this movie and you're like, it's going to be silly or whatever.
From the opening scene, you are dying laughing.
It is just Jim Carrey basically doing like some of the best physical comedy and facial comedy that we saw in Living Color.
The package and going around it.
Yeah. That we saw in A Living Color. And then now it's on the big screen. wiring. You know, sounds, that's kind of like what it was.
Sounds broken. Most likely, sir. I bet it was something nice, though. If you just sign here, 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 initial here and print your name here, we'll get the rest of the forms right out as soon as we can.
And this came out right before Dumb and Dumber. This came out in early 94.
There you go.
But, I mean, so good, man, when he goes to find Ray Finkel, you know, his hometown. I'm in Psychoville, and Finkel's the mayor.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel. And a clean player shorts.
What do you know?
They're little footballs. Plays us out.
So, I mean,
cozy if you're Hannibal Lecter.
You know, they.
Oh, been, and he goes, he wears the tutu.
Yeah. At the mental hospital. Yeah.
Coach, just give me a chance.
They've been talking about a revival of this and that he would be involved in it, no. Which I would be okay with if he's involved.
Don't touch it. Don't touch
if
it.
If he's involved in it.
Don't touch it. It's perfect.
If he's involved don't, in it.
Maybe.
Ace Ventura, you know, 30 years
passing
from now.
It on,
I
like
mean,
the,
I could do it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, if they do it that way.
Yeah. But the thing about the beauty, you need to. You need. I'll get crazy, man. But the beauty of this thing is
fine.
The beauty of this movie is they. Someone, a director came along and said, "We have this movie. You be you. You." And we talked about this before. Let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it all go and do like be right. as big as you want to be. Be as crazy as you want to be. Be as zany. We're gonna say action. And you know you need to hit these spots. But in between, you do you.
Right.
And he was able just to.
Right.
No, Hans Fitz Velvet, Trainer and Dolphin.
I know.
What do you care about Snowflake? Do you visit him in whom? Do you have a door, Dolphin? I say to Snowflake, I say, and he said to me,
I love it, dude. Man. Courtney Cox in that movie, who would later go on to Friends fame, of course. Mm. But yeah, it's so good, man. It's just displaying his physical comedy, his impressionism at the time, which he was very big into. And I said it earlier, but I mean, I felt like it was just the best parts of him on A Living Color, but now on the big screen.
Oh.
Because he was able to have free reign and just kind of do whatever he wanted. And within that character, the way he dressed even, was just outlandish
and
hilarious.
His hair, they said they made his hair look like a parrot.
Right.
That was his goal, to make his hair look like a parrot.
It's not going
to
be on my list. It's not in my top 10, but When Nature Calls was great too.
Oh, just honestly, it's equally as funny.
I mean, this is hilarious.
The reason this made my list.
Yeah, go ahead. So it's your. Is it your two?
Yes, it's my number two.
It's your two. Go ahead.
It's my two. So, because this, I mean, this movie changed my life. You know, when this movie came out and when he hit the big screen, like I was mimicking this guy every single, alrighty then, you know, every single day.
Still do.
I watched it over and I watched it over and over again. And this was the beginning. This was the beginning of his career as a comedic superstar. Because I don't care how silly you think it is. You can't deny that this guy on the big screen is so freaking talented and funny.
Now, it would
and the way he throws him around. I mean, he sits there at a desk talking to Courtney Cox's character, eating sunflower seeds, and it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. He's just sitting there eating him like a squirrel.
Right, right. While he's listening to the case.
Do you need an ashtray? No, I don't smoke. It's a
disgusting habit.
Just, I mean, now,
one thing I don't want to fail to mention is that it doesn't play quite as well in today with the ending of this film and how he's kind of disgusted by her transformation. That doesn't quite play
well from a
PC standpoint. And I've heard that mentioned on some other shows. But, I mean, this is the mid-90s. Like, you know, it wasn't as such of a sensitive culture. Yeah. I think if they remade Ace Ventura now, they obviously would not have that arc for Sean Young's character, who, by the way, was awesome in this, too.
Holy Testicle Tuesday. What the hell is he doing here?
I came to confess. I was the second gunman on the grassy knoll.
Spare me the routine, Ventura. I know you're working the Snowflake case. May I suggest you yield to the experts on this one? We'll find the porpoise. Whew.
Now I feel better. Of course, that might not do any good. You see, nobody's missing a porpoise. It's a dolphin that's been taken. The common harbor porpoise has an abrupt snout, pointed teeth, and a triangular thoracic fin, while the bottlenose dolphin, or Terciops truncatus, has an elongated beak, round cone-shaped teeth, and a serrated dorsal appendage. I'm sure you already knew that. That's what turns me on about you. Your attention to detail.
Listen, pet dick. How would you like me to make your life a living hell?
Well, I'm not really ready for a relationship, Lois, but thank you for asking. Hey, maybe I'll give you a call sometime. Your number still 911? Alrighty then.
Man, I'm tired of being right. when he solves the case, you know?
Yes.
Okay, so
when he steps on the bug, homicide, Ace. Now, how are you going to solve that? Good question, Mendinga. First thing I do is establish a motive. In this case, the bug saw the size of the killer's dick and became insanely jealous. And then I'd lose 30 pounds. Parking his wife.
Yeah, just the best. Man. Oh. I wonder how much of his dialogue in the movie was improvised.
I have exercised the demons.
So
but Jim Carrey, Ace Ventura, that's my number two.
All right, man.
So love it. Love, 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 love it. Jim Carrey at his absolute zaniest.
And, so that's your number two. And let me... Should I switch mine up or no? Shouldn't switch it up, right? No, I'll leave mine the same. All right, so my number two, I don't know. Maybe this is the one that we didn't cross over on. I don't know. If it is, then I give up. My number two is Eternal Sunshine.
Oh, that's a good movie. Not on my list. Spotless Mind. A great movie.
Came out in 2004.
Hi.
Hi. I figured you'd show your face around me again. Because I thought you were humiliated. You did run away after all.
I just needed to see you.
And, yeah?
I'd like to, take you out or something.
You're married.
Not yet. Not married. No, I'm not married.
No. Look, man, I'm telling you right off the bat, I'm high maintenance, so I'm not gonna tiptoe around your marriage or whatever it is you got going there. If you want to be with me, you're with me.
Okay.
Too many guys think I'm a concept, or I complete them, or I'm gonna make them alive. But I'm just a fucked up girl who's looking for my own peace of mind. Don't assign me yours.
I remember that speech really well.
I had you pegged, didn't I?
Yeah, the whole human race pegged.
Probably.
I still thought you were gonna save my life, even after that. Different if we could just give it another go round.
Remember me. Try your best. Maybe we can.
He portrays Joel in the movie. Obviously, the woman of his affection is portrayed by Kate Winslet, Clementine. And this, I also named this movie actually twice before. I named it when we did Cinematic Romances.
Oh, yes.
Their relationship in that movie.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And when we did winter movies, movies that take place during the winter, I also named it. So I love this film. It's one of my favorite of all time.
So good.
Easily a five-star film for me. And I feel like this was the third time that he did not get nominated for an Academy Award, and he should have.
Okay.
He's been snubbed three times at a minimum.
What are the,
some people would
are the other ones?
Well, I don't, I'm going to talk about him in a second. I'll mention the other two, believe me, today. But he's been snubbed three times. Some people would say four if you count The Majestic. Yeah. I don't count The Majestic, but that was an amazing performance. Mm-hmm. I feel like he wouldn't have been nominated in The Majestic because the movie kind of sucked. Like, his performance was amazing, but it was in a substandard film.
Yes.
But this is the third of three times that he should have been nominated for Best Actor. I feel like maybe him talking out of his ass in Ace Ventura hurt his reputation with the Academy. I don't know. But
excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Yeah, but he's been snubbed too many times, brother. But I mean, the pain and anguish of just of love and heartbreak.
And letting go.
We witness in this film. Mm-hmm. And it has a very kind of sci-fi Black Mirror vibe to it, too. Because
A lot of the movie takes place in his mind.
Right. And it's a futuristic story about, you know, this mechanism that can make you forget what's hurting you.
It pins what it does is it the mechanism. It pinpoints memory. So basically, if I want to cut you out of my life and I'm hurting because you and I have been in a romance, I want to forget you. They'll go in and tag. It's like using tags. They'll tag every memory that has you associated with it, and they'll knock them out one at a time. So basically, I'm cutting you out of my mental life.
Right.
And then you get they send off this letter to all the friends and family to say, hey, this person is cutting this person out of their life. Never mention them again.
Right.
So then I don't remember it. But the movie takes place actually in a lot of it goes back and forth between reality and Jim Carrey's mind, because you see them. He's going from memory to memory trying to hold on to this woman.
Right.
You know, and then, of course, he meets her again. They've both done it, and they meet again and fall in love again.
Right.
Because they both have forgotten each other, but then they fall in love again. They realize, oh my gosh, we've done all this before.
Right.
So it's
very
it works on a lot of
it messes with your mind. You know, it messes with your mind.
You never know where am I? Are we in the past? Are we in the future? Are we in the mind?
While it's a story of them and their mind and their memories, it's kind of messing with our mind at the same time, and it's making us wonder, do we remember that? Did that happen? So it's a very similar. It puts the audience in a very similar situation that Joel finds himself in the movie.
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey just, I mean, right? I mean, we're just talking about Ace Ventura, bro. How much of a 180 is this performance? Yeah. so subdued, so calm, so heartbroken.
Yes.
I mean, you just feel for him.
He's sad the whole time.
And, you know, Charlie Kaufman, who was the writer on Eternal Sunshine, it makes sense because he also did Adaption with Nicolas Cage, which is also in his mind. And he did Being John Malkovich, which is also...
I never saw Being John Malkovich.
Which is also takes place in John Malkovich's mind. So he does that where he's like... Because the human mind is a very complex...
We do live in our mind.
...thing. Yeah. So it makes sense that he would be the writer behind this. But directed by Michael Gondry, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is one of the top three, in my opinion, Jim Carrey performances.
Yes.
It is such a...
Good movie.
You know, he's getting older. Jim Carrey's getting older. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really hope... before I go, that I get to see him on the Academy stage for an Academy Award. Yeah. I mean,
has he ever won?
No, he's never been nominated, bro. He's been snubbed so many times.
And that also has to do with the Academy's perception of humor. Humor as an art form that is not as respected. It's not that, basically,
and
it's
same quote, thing with horror
it's
as well.
Quote, easy. Mm-hmm. But the thing most comedians will say, well, okay, well, you so-and-so just did this great movie. Now you go do Ace Ventura. Can you make us laugh like that?
Right.
I mean, because it's a talent, it's an art form. So, I mean, classically, the Academy has not recognized comedy as a pure...
Rarely.
Yeah, as a pure...
And same thing with horror. I mean,
you
know, but the three that he got snubbed for...
do you want to mention them now or later?
...were dramatic... well, they're going to come up, so I'll mention them when they come up. Okay. They were dramatic performances. Mm-hmm. So, and I got to be honest with you, bro. If he'd have gotten nominated for Cable Guy, I would have been completely on board with that.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. So that could be a fifth.
Yeah, as far
as... If you include The Majestic and Cable Guy.
As far as comedic performances of a character in a movie, I mean, Cable Guy's perfect.
I mean, give me a break. I mean, who else is going to sell that the way he sold that in Cable Guy? Mm-hmm. Now, it's a comedy. It's a black comedy. They're not going to nominate it. I get it.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they had... Yeah. I would have applauded them. You know, this year, the Academy, for the first time in my life, did what they should have done, and they awarded the best films, objectively the best films. Yeah. You know, Parasite, I know you probably haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
But it's a South Korean picture. It's a foreign film. It was easily the best film of the year. I mean, there's no fucking question. But the Academy for 92 years, and I'm sorry to get off on a quick discussion here, but for 92 years, they've never awarded a foreign language film as best picture.
Really?
Because they have a foreign language film category.
Ah.
So, now it's called international. But they'll give, best international, and they'll be like, here's your award. You guys are good. You know, we're only going to give this to an American. I'm not trying to be funny, but that's what they've done for 90 years. But this year, they gave it to the best film that very, very few people would disagree with, Parasite. And everybody, you know, in film on Twitter and stuff, I mean, they're like, finally, you know, you guys did what you're supposed to do, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, just to get back to what we're talking about. If that panel of the Academy had been around in the 90s, I wonder if Jim Carrey would have gotten a couple nominations.
Yeah, there's definitely a Jim Carrey movie.
His performances are amazing.
There's definitely a Jim Carrey movie where I think this movie, I think you'll mention it later, and I'll mention it later, but it's one of his best performances.
Yeah.
The only reason it's not in my top five are because the character he's playing, I don't like at all. Like, me being a humorist and me loving comedy, I don't like this character at all. But his portrayal of this character, spot on.
Yeah.
And one of the best, as far as adaptations, or one of the best, what do you call, not mimicry, but when you're playing someone else, in like a biopic.
Biopic, yeah.
Biopic, one of the best biopics of all time. You look at the Joaquin Phoenix, you look at the the Ray movie, you look at those biopics, you look at this one, like, no. Jim Carrey knocked it out of the park.
You're talking about Man on the Moon.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about that.
Yeah, I'll talk about it later
but, and I'm gonna talk about it actually from two different aspects.
Okay, but let's get that. We'll get there later.
But we'll get there because that is the one. Like him not getting nominated for that, bro, is like,
and not just winning, not even nominated.
And his
portrayal of Andy Kaufman, my goodness. Not only in his comedy, in his personal life, and in his death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about that from a couple different angles here in a moment.
Where are we at? We will definitely discuss Man on the Moon. Where are we?
So my number two was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and we are up to our number ones.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Andy, what's your number one, brother?
The best Jim Carrey movie of all time. And I'm talking about, you know what, we can talk about drama all you want, but pure humor. This is what I call the absolute expression of Jim Carrey's comedic genius. This movie displays his comedic genius at a level that has hence been untouched.
Okay.
And he's cool, he's handsome, he's sexy, he's in a business suit, and he's absolutely hilarious. The movie is Liar.
Nice. Liar. Okay.
Mrs. Cole, is this a copy of your driver's license?
Yes.
It says here you're a blonde, are you?
If you don't remember, perhaps Mr. Falk will.
Brunette.
We can play the tape again. Maybe it's on there.
I'm a brunette.
Thank you.
Now let's see. Weight 105? Yeah, in your bra.
Your Honor, I object.
You would.
Bastard.
Hey, quiet. Overruled. Weight.
118. All right, fine. I'm 127.
Uh-huh. And it says here you were born in 1964, but that's not true either, is it? Is it?
No.
Can you tell me what it says here on your birth certificate under date of birth?
Your Honor, I object. What does this have to do with anything?
Overruled. Mrs. Cole, answer the question.
1965.
Now, let me get this straight. That would mean that you lied about your age to make yourself older. But why would any woman want to do that?
I changed it so I could get married.
And the truth shall set you free! My client lied about her age. She was only 17 when she got married, which makes her a minor. And in the great state of California, no minor can enter into any legal contract without parental consent, including...
prenuptial agreements.
Prenuptial agreements! This contract is void. The fact that my client has been ridden more than Seattle slew is irrelevant. Standard community property applies, and she is entitled to half of the marital assets, or $11.395 million. Jordan fades back. Swoosh! And that's the game! Nothing further, Your Honor.
Jim Carrey, my friends, went on a comedic journey of evolution.
Sure, yeah.
From Aceville, from In Living Color, and Liar Liar was the peak of that evolution. After that, he moved into some different zones, had great movies, Fun with Dick and Jane, Bruce Almighty, all those. But Liar Liar was the height of his absolutely uncontained physical prowess.
Okay.
Liar Liar is a great movie about a compulsive liar who's a lawyer,
right.
Which is great.
Which is funny, yeah.
And from the little lies to the big lies, you got some change. Sure, I'm sorry, I'm all out. You know, those little things, you know, when he's having that discussion with the girl who cheated on his husband, like, you cheat on her 5 times 7, whatever. You're the victim here. You know, you're
right. Just being slimy.
Married to an emotionless workaholic. Where would Tina Turner be if she rolled over and said, hit me again, Ike, and this time put some stank on it. Rolling down the river, that's where, but no, she's beyond Thunderdome because she has a message. Wake up, sisters! It's not such thing! But I mean, Liar, Liar, as far as Jim Carrey's pure comedic prowess, Liar, Liar is amazing. He shows some emotion in that.
What was
it's
the
at
year the, on that?
It's after Truman Show.
It's in 2000s?
Yes, it's at the outer edge of his
So this one, this is the first one that's not even in my top 10, but it was for a little while.
Liar, Liar.
It was in the 90s.
Amazing.
So 90s.
Here she comes to wreck the day.
So 90s Jim Carrey is comedy Jim Carrey. By the way, that was Tom Shadyac, who is also the director of Ace Ventura.
Yes.
So same director.
I like him a lot. He also did a movie called I Am about God and shit.
So you can see God and shit.
Tom is cool.
You can see how he also probably said, okay, Jim, you're Ace Ventura, but you're wearing a suit.
But.
Do what you do.
But the thing is, it's not Ace Ventura in a suit. This guy, it's a different form of physical comedy. Because the way he walks, when he walks into a room with a suit, you respect him. Mm. You're like, this is a lawyer, a powerhouse lawyer, who's good at getting people off. Who's good at getting crooks off. He does it over and over again. He's trying to become like he's a terrible father, but he loves his son.
Right.
And that's one of the beautiful parts of the story. He's a terrible husband. He's a terrible father.
Right.
But him and his son have this connection. Maximilian. Him and his son have this connection.
Right.
And so you're also you're orchestrating that because not only is he's lying for a living.
Right.
He's also lying to his child.
All right.
Over and over again.
Well,
and
there
so,
you go.
But the way he weaves that, I'm a cool, sophisticated powerhouse lawyer with I'm absolutely hilarious.
Right.
You had sex with her, didn't you? Didn't you? You stuffed her like a Thanksgiving turkey. To see him bounce around.
And another one where he gets in a fight with himself in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
What
are you doing? I'm kicking my... And you want to talk about one of the best comedic performances of all time, scene-wise, is when he's trying to prove to himself, okay, is this really happening? Can I lie? Something simple. The pen is red. He has a blue pen in his hand. All I'm going to say is the pen is red. He takes it. He tries to say it. Then he tries to write it. And his hand gets crazy.
Right.
He starts fighting himself. And when the secretary walks in, he comes up above the desk and he has blue written all over him. And he's like, the pen is blue. The pen is blue. The goddamn goddamn pen is blue. But dude, live as far
he's
as
losing it,
as know? Far as humor is concerned, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Liar Liar is the funniest movie of all time.
Wow, bro.
I said it.
Andy out here dropping dimes, guys. I don't know. It is great, though. It is great.
I don't think
Liar Liar did not make my ultimately my top 10, but it would probably be my 11. Is right there. It was there for a while.
So you don't think it's funny? You
know, I know. I do.
As funny as his other movies.
No, I don't. Okay. Well, I don't know. I wonder if it's because like we'd seen it before. Yeah. I mean, not that we'd seen it before because it was on a new level, but just like
it has a tone. It has a tone.
I don't know. I mean, I did. I mean, I do love it. Yeah. You know, I do love it. It's just not obviously didn't make the cut for me. I mean, for me, like Dumb and Dumber's funnier.
I like Jerry Lewis. But the beautiful thing about Jerry Lewis, he was always Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis in a suit, Jerry Lewis in a police uniform.
Sure.
That's what Ace Ventura was. Ace Ventura was Jim Carrey as this guy. Liar Liar was the ultimate expression of this type of comedy that I just like.
I get it.
I like, it's Jim Carrey in a suit. And I'm fine with that because Jim Carrey, you're beautiful, you're wonderful.
And he brought his own spin to that.
Yes, but I mean, it's character. It is. It's Jim Carrey in a suit.
Sure.
So, all right, so I like that. I like that brand of old school kind of slapstick Jerry Lewis humor. I love that
show. I'll have you wrap up your five in a second. My number one, you mentioned at the top of your list. My number
one. Bottom of yours, baby.
My number one is The Truman Show.
Four crossovers. That's a record.
Is a lot. I mean, I thought we'd have two or three, but yeah.
I guaranteed you three.
You did, and I thought we were going to cross over on Truman Show and Ace Ventura. I didn't know you were going to do Cable Guy. And Dumb and Dumber. I knew you were going to do this.
So number one is Truman Show for you.
Truman Show for me. I mean, we talked about it earlier, but I mean, a couple things I want to mention that we didn't touch on earlier that I thought was interesting when I saw The Truman Show initially was that, I mean, yes, we'd seen The Cable Guy, but aside from that, this was the first like kind of dramatic, kind of like heartbreaking performance from him. And it was very much like kind of like his life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Almost like
I've never thought
almost
of that.
Like an autobiographical.
To be the center of this universe. Yes. And to be like an almost odd feeling.
You know, we were just talking about in Living Color, which was probably the late 80s, until what you were just talking about in Liar Liar, which is a year before this. It came out a year before Truman Show.
Okay, so I thought Liar Liar was afterwards.
In the bulk of the 90s, basically, so for a whole decade, he is the comedic actor. You know, he's the one that
superstar.
Everybody's seeking.
The
everybody's
superstar.
Everybody's sending scripts to. Yeah. Everybody's just watching what he's doing.
He's on paparazzi. The screen, money's gonna be made, and people are gonna laugh. Yeah.
So it was very much a autobiographical film for him. I feel like it was probably very cathartic for him.
And him breaking out, trying to get out of that life. Trying to get out of that life. Right. Oh,
and when you mentioned it earlier, what I wanted to say, I mean, this was a very pivotal film in his career because if you look at everything that came before The Truman Show in 98 and everything that came after The Truman Show, it's a very different groups. So Group B is everything after Truman Show. It's very different. It's very dramatic.
That's
true. There's some funny stuff, but I mean,
there's a lot of great
for humor. For the most part, it is a much more personal choices that he's made. Whereas prior to Truman Show, not that he was making it to cash a check, but he was just using his comedic prowess to
entertain people.
You know,
it was very,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why don't you let me fix you some of this new Mo cocoa drink? All natural cocoa beans from the upper slopes of Mount Nicaragua, no artificial sweeteners.
What the hell are you talking about? Who are you talking to?
I've tasted other cocos. This is the best.
What the hell does this have to do with anything? Tell me what's happening!
Well, you're having a nervous breakdown. That's what's happening.
You're part of this, aren't you?
Roman!
Meryl!
You are scaring me!
No. You're scaring me, Meryl. What are you gonna do? Dice me? Slice me or peel me? There's so many choices!
No! Do something!
What? What'd you say? Who are you talking to?
Nothing. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. No, I didn't
talk.
I wasn't talking to anybody. No. Roman,
talk to me.
I don't know anything. Please stop.
Stay where you are. Truman? Truman.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. How can anyone expect me to carry on under these conditions? It's unprofessional.
So Truman Show is that little nick in the timeline of Jim Carrey's kind of growth as an artist.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go ahead and tell you now because it's coming from my honorable mentions. So the ones that he absolutely should have been nominated for are this.
Truman Show.
Absolutely, for his performance as Truman Burbank. Mm-hmm. And then as Andy in Man on the Moon. Now,
you said there were three. You said there were
and,
three.
And Eternal Sunshine.
Okay, sorry.
You could throw the Majestic and Cable Guy in there, too, from his performance. But yeah. Eternal Sunshine, Truman Show, and Man on the Moon.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Man on the Moon. Man on the Moon all by Oscar, far. I have no
all
idea.
All Oscar-worthy performances. But yeah, I mean, that's just what I wanted to mention. Also, an awesome Ed Harris as kind of the sympathetic villain in this.
When he's having the discussion, like, basically, let's face it, basically as God.
Yeah,
so Truman Show's trying to get out. He's found the door. He's found the way out. And the voice from the heavens comes and says, you know, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? I was there. And you hear, like, Ed Harris is almost choking up. He says, I was there when you said your first word. When you took your first steps. I have been watching you this whole time. And the way they show the clouds breaking and this voice from heaven, it's such a beautiful moment. The guy, who's the guy from Sideways who plays one of the
Paul Giamatti
mm-hmm. when Ed Harris says we're gonna basically create a storm to capsize the boat, and Paul Giamatti has to call it in. He goes, okay, we're gonna access a storm program. No, I think we're gonna want a storm localized above the boat. Uh-huh. And you see his ambivalence in that, like, okay, like, are we gonna do this?
And he asks Ed Harris, he says, you know, he'll die on air.
Harris, he was born on air. He can die on air,
right?
Woo!
Crazy, man.
So you're talking about not just a performance by Jim Carrey, you're talking about a great movie.
It really is.
And a great
idea.
And
it was saying a lot at the time. You know, it was saying a lot at the time, kind of like we were talking about with Cable Guy. It was a little bit of a social commentary because reality TV was just starting to, like, The Real World and shit like that.
Yes.
Was just starting to kind of become a thing.
The guy in the bathtub watching.
And now it's like an unstoppable force, bro. I mean, you can't turn on any channel. We were talking about Kim Kardashian on our episode previous.
Well, reality TV is TV.
People exist.
The Bachelor.
Bachelor, I'm guilty.
I can see you in your tub watching The Bachelor.
But, you know, YouTube stars even, you know, I mean, it's like crazy, bro. I mean, there's like, you know, me and my wife joke around about this little kid who's like 8 that is making like, you know, $10 million a year because he plays with toys on YouTube. That's how many people are watching it. You know what I mean? It's just like Truman Show was prophetic in that way that it saw, like, we could be here at some point. You know, I could see an actualization of the Truman Show at some point, because as a society, especially in America,
well, someone say we're already there.
Yeah, I know. Some people as a society in America were so infatuated with just like the voyeurism of it all.
You know what I mean? And the weird idea of celebrity.
I mean, Jim Carrey and the Truman Show, bro. I mean, all, like you said earlier, my five are all 5 A, B, C, D. I mean, they're all tied.
Yeah.
But I mean, Truman Show for me is still the most like kind of impactful watch, because I feel like it was such a transition his career.
And not only that, I could almost say that Truman Show is probably one of my favorite Jim Carrey movies, as far as not just his performance, but the movie is so good.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, from beginning to end, I agree. Every time I watch it, I cry.
I agree.
Every time I cry. At the end and he's like, no, like, he's like, you see the arm go down when you think he's drowning, and he gets back up with a smile on his face, and when he finally hits the edge, I said it before, when he hits the edge and he's banging on the wall and he realizes for the first time the actualization that I'm in a prison.
If I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And it's out, which had been his tagline in the movie to his neighbors.
Man, I'm getting choked up, brother.
It's crazy, man. I mean, it really is. You know, obviously, Jim Carrey, if he was listening, he's not listening right now. It would have tuned out. But I mean,
don't talk to me ever again.
If he's listening,
you have been unfriended.
You know, if he's listening, I feel like The Cable Guy and Truman Show were the two most, like, important for the growth of his acting prowess.
And if Jim Carrey's listening,
does that make sense?
Can I say something to Jim as well?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna say something. If I'm listening, Jim, I appreciate your honesty from the very beginning. You've been very honest. Like when you wanted to let go and make us laugh, you were honest with your body, you were honest with your voice. When you wanted to go and do other things, you were honest with that as well. Mm-hmm. When you want to talk about spirituality and tetrahedrons and whatnot, you're honest. Mm-hmm. And when you want
politics,
just like, so I want to say that what I appreciate about Jim Carrey and his evolution. And while he will go down as my favorite artist of all time in any category, and yes, Justin, even above you, he'll go down because of his
because of his
vulnerability and his honesty, and that's what an artist is. Yeah. An artist is vulnerable. An artist is
I love
honest.
It, man. He's not afraid to do Jim, slapstick. He's not afraid.
James Emmanuel Carey, we love you.
I mean, it really is a shame, and I hate to keep bashing the Academy or whatever, but it really is a shame because how many actors, and there's a handful. I can only think of three or four off the top of my head that are not not afraid to get in front of millions of people and make them laugh, and they're also not afraid to get in front of those same millions of people and try to shed tears and make them cry.
And he does both.
In fact, he does both of those in several of these movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does both in The Truman Show. He does both in Eternal Sunshine. I mean, it's crazy. So anyway, I love Jim Carrey. Why don't you give us a quick wrap up, buddy? Okay. What was your top
number
five again?
Number five, The Truman Show. Number four, Dumb and Dumber. Number three, The Cable Guy. Number two, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. And number one, Liar Squared. See what I did there?
That's what they should have called it, man. I like that. My top five was basically that. It was in a different order. Yeah. My number five was Dumb and Dumber. Four was The Cable Guy. Three was Ace Ventura. Two was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, the only non-crossover today. And my number one was The Truman Show that we just talked about. Beautiful. So let's give a few honorable mentions, buddy. Did you have...
I got five, of course. Fun with Dick and Jane.
That's a good one.
Probably the funniest Jim Carrey movie post... Uh-huh. Bruce Almighty's and all that. Bruce Almighty, because let's face it, I love God. Now, I'm going to say not my favorite Jim Carrey performance. Yeah. I felt like in Bruce Almighty, he was trying to let loose, but he was still a little... he was trying to figure out, okay, how do I be funny again? After he went down this whole thing of being not funny, he wanted to try to let loose again. But as far as a movie is concerned, Bruce Almighty is just such a good movie. Mm-hmm. I love that. There's a movie with Ewan McGregor. I forgot the name of... I Love You, Ben. I Love You with a name in it.
Oh, I Love You, Philip Morris.
I Love You, Philip Morris.
That's a good one.
Have you seen that? Is a great.
And actually, you know what?
Movie.
That's another one that was Oscar worthy.
Dude, is a great movie. So really, Fun with Dick and Dane, I Love You, whatever. Bruce Almighty, Man on the Moon. Obviously, Man on the Moon is a great one.
All right.
I like him and Lemony Snicket. Not a great movie, but his performance is just spot on.
Let me round out my top 10, which almost all of them have been mentioned so far. My number six would have been Man on the Moon. You know, I didn't know a lot about Andy Kaufman prior to seeing that movie at the end of the 90s. But I mean, after seeing Jim Carrey portray Andy, I became an Andy fan. I started researching Andy Kaufman. I watched clips. Now I know a lot about him. There's another reason why. I'll talk about it here in a second, but that would have been my number six. My number seven would have been Me, Myself, and Irene. Again, a very manic performance.
Now that type of humor, who made that? The Coen brothers?
That was the Farley brothers.
Farley brothers again. That type of humor doesn't interest me as much. That kind of dark humor, almost disgustingly dark humor. Mm. But his performance in that
is
amazing.
And it was also reminiscent of his performance from Cable Guy, too, a little bit. He kind of brought some of that back.
Even darker. Yeah. And like his relationship with himself.
Right.
And like he plays himself playing himself.
And him with Renee Zellweger, who just won the Oscar for her portrayal of Judy Garland. My number eight would have been Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events. Love that movie. You know what? I'm a sucker for, and we've talked about this before at the Halloween season, but I'm a sucker for like dark, kind of creepy.
Tim Burton-esque.
Yeah, kind of creepy movies that are okay to show your kids.
Oh, yes.
You know, and
Coraline.
And my son could enjoy this.
Yes.
So my number nine is something that if you have not seen, you need to go home tonight and pull it up on Netflix. I don't know if we've talked about this before or not, but it's actually a documentary. And it's a documentary about...
It's
a documentary about Jim Carrey's portrayal of Andy Kaufman. It's called Jim and Andy.
Yeah.
Ironically. Yeah. So I know you probably love it. But it's called Jim and Andy. Have you ever seen it? The Great Beyond. Just the level, because you can see the movie and you can go, okay, you know, he really did really well in that.
But no.
But when you see this documentary, bro, like not only when the camera was rolling, I mean, this guy was Andy Kaufman for like 3 months. I mean, he wouldn't break character.
Yeah.
I mean, it might sound insane,
his description, he was trying to think of whether or not to do the movie or not. He said he was walking at the beach and he walked in the ocean and Andy spoke to him.
Yeah.
So he has this video where Andy said, and he goes, okay, I can do this.
Right.
Because Andy said, do it like this.
Right. That's crazy.
He said, and Andy told him, I'm Andy, which is weird. Andy told him, like, if you're going to do it, you got to do it.
So now.
And the beautiful thing about that is Andy Kaufman didn't care what anybody thought. He was one of the very first, what I would call reactionary humorists. I mean, I don't care what reaction I get. I'm going to do this and I'm going to be all in. And so Jim decided, if I'm going to do that, I have to be all in.
Right.
If I'm going to portray him honestly.
Right.
And it showed up in the movie.
So the last one on my list would have been my number 10, would have been one of, if not the first Jim Carrey movie. It's a movie called Once Bitten.
Did
you ever see Once Bitten?
The vampire movie.
The vampire one from 1985.
You know the reason the vampire wanted him, right? Because he was a virgin.
Yep. And
she would bite the vein.
The little tagline here says, Mark wants to lose his virginity, but his girlfriend wants to wait. Unfortunately for both of them, a 400-year-old vampire countess needs to turn a virgin into a vampire before Halloween. So you know it's up my alley, brother. And it's a PG movie. It's fun, you know, so why not? 80s young Jim Carrey playing a high school kid, which obviously we didn't see. This was before Living Color even. So 1985 on Once Bitten is my number 10, would have been my number 10. All right, so we're going to go over to the open up the old suggestion box, brother. What's in the box? We got we got a shit ton of feedback from Mr. Jim Carrey. People love him. So let's start.
We have feedback from Jim Carrey?
Actually, he sent us all his favorites. Yeah.
These are my favorite movies that I have ever made.
My favorites of me. Yeah. You've been a little vain there, James. All right, so let's see. We'll start on Twitter. Real Feels, our buddy Drew over there says, Liar, Liar, the Ace Ventura films, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
That's a good performance.
I like his.
That's a great performance. Yeah.
And he also said A Series of Unfortunate Events is an underrated performance of Carrey's. I agree. Word Salad Radio says Eternal Sunshine, Jim and Andy, Man on the Moon, and The Truman Show.
Dude.
Pretty easy there. Caleb from he's a patron of the show. Love Caleb. He says Yes Man by A Country Mile. Oh, did you ever see Yes Man?
Yes. That's a great movie. You have Red Bull?
We did.
And also the idea of someone trying to say yes to his life and basically taking it all the way and saying yes to everything, but through saying yes meets the girl. And
Ryan Terry,
do you need a release?
Ryan Terry over on the page is one that was not on our list. He has The Majestic.
Okay,
another great.
I didn't love that movie.
But it was another great Carrey performance.
He did great. But
and how about this one, Colby Mack? We didn't mention this one today, and it's one of the most infamous roles of Carrey's, The Mask.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, that was right in the height of that 90s comedy.
I want to say it was the second movie of that time. I want to say it came out right after Dumb and Dumb. I mean, I'm sorry, right after Ace Ventura. And the great thing about that was he played a cartoon. He got to play a cartoon with the special effects to make him a cartoon.
Right.
Cigarette. Right. They call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the Mamba beat.
Christe Andrea has one that I have not seen. Oh, well, first she's got Eternal Sunshine, but then she also has Doing Time on Maple Drive.
No.
Never saw that one.
There's a couple I haven't seen.
I'm going to check that one out. Gidget Von LaRue, a good friend of the show and a recent guest on the show, has a great list here. She has Cable Guy, The Majestic, The Mask, and The Amazing Burt Wonderstone. Did you ever see that one? No. That's with Steve Carell and maybe Owen Wilson. I might be forgetting.
What's the one about
but
the penguins?
They play dueling magicians in Vegas.
I bet he'd be good at that.
You're thinking of March of the Penguins.
Mr. Something's Penguins?
Mr. Popper's Penguins. Yeah.
Now, the thing about this magician movie, I could watch it and who knows if I'd love it, hate it, or what, but I guarantee you I'd love his performance. And that's the thing about Jim Carrey that you mentioned earlier, that no matter what the movie is, he's going to be good.
Right.
Like, you can go and like, well, I guarantee you he's going to be good. You know? Because he's Jim Carrey.
I agree. The Peter Greenwood Show over on Twitter says, Man on the Moon, I love Andy Kaufman, and seeing Jim play him was a true performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I agree. One of the most tragic Oscar snubs of all
Danny
time.
Danny DeVito, who was in the movie and who knew Andy.
Right.
Was freaked out. He used to say that, dude, when Jim came on as Andy, it was weird because you were like, this is him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the few mentions for this one that we didn't mention today, and I got to be honest, this might actually be the only Jim Carrey movie I don't like, to be honest, that I've seen at least. A movie called 23, or the number 23.
Yeah,
it's like a suspense thriller.
I can picture his face on it, but I've never seen it.
It's like a suspense thriller, and I was so excited because he'd been out of movies for like 5 years at that point, and I just didn't like it, so it was a disappointment. Yeah. Not saying he was bad in it, I just didn't like the movie. Let's head over to Facebook, because those guys are awesome. Guys, if you have not joined up yet, please hit us up and join to our Facebook fan community. That is where we interact with our fans the most, at least I do. I can't even get Andy to interact with me.
And the fans. Gerald sits in the bathtub on his phone, and he will text you. He will send you a message.
Our buddy Justin from the Epic Film Guys says Man on the Moon, nice. And I agree. Aaron Tucker, a fan of the page over there, says Bruce Almighty.
Yeah.
Eternal Sunshine, The Truman Show, Lemony Snicket, Series of Unfortunate Events, and then another shout out for the number 23.
Oh,
and I asked him, I said, are you trolling me with that 23 pick? Because I thought it was a piece of crap, you know? And he said it was a crap movie, but it was a very interesting concept, and Carrey did really well in it. Justin Winters from So I Married Movie Geek. Love that guy. He's got a good trifecta here. He says Dumb and Dumber, Eternal Sunshine, and Liar, Liar.
Nice. Well done, friend.
There you go, brother. Patrick Sherwood says Me, Myself, Irene, The Majestic, and Ace Ventura. Jenny Markle says The Grinch. Again, another mention for The Grinch. Where does his Grinch fall for you in that? Did you see the new one that came out last year?
Oh, that was pretty good.
No, the animated one?
It's weird because I grew up with the Grinch cartoon, so I fell in love with that story. When Jim Carrey's Grinch came out, I don't think I liked it at first because it deviated from the story so much.
Right.
It added so many different elements.
It added a lot.
Over time, I've grown to love it.
Right. Right.
And I think his performance is wonderful.
Our good buddy Brian.
No messages, I swear. I better check the outgoing. If you so much as utter a word, I'll hunt you down and gut you like a fish. If you want to page me, press your star key. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, he was great. Brian Loy, our buddy who hosted the Golden Peas with me this year. I love that dude, man. He says, so he mentioned Lemony Snicket, a series of unfortunate events. And I said, yeah, I'm trying to figure out where to put that on my list. And Brian said, the fact that Carrie plays a villainous bad actor portraying three different characters all flawlessly easily makes it one of the best comedic performances.
Absolutely.
The rest of the cast is great too, not to mention the movie's emotional and visual sumptuous.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he plays Count Olaf, who's a bad actor, but Count Olaf also plays other characters trying to track down the Snicket kids.
Yep.
Or the whatever kids.
Phil Rude says...
Baudelaire.
Phil Rude says the Truman Show, Man on the Moon, and he thought the Cable Guy, and he thought that, but then he said maybe that's an unpopular opinion. I said, bro, are you nuts? Like, I love the Cable Guy. It's easily going to be on my list, and it was.
Yeah.
And I said the karaoke scene remains one of my best career Carrie on-screen moments.
Yeah.
Let's just mention a couple other ones here. These guys are so great, man, giving us feedback. Every week.
Such a good time last night. It's okay. It's my treat. What do you mean it's my treat? The women. What? No, you're kidding me. Tell me she's your friend. I wish I had friends like that.
So Nick Haskins from the aforementioned Epic Not Film Guys has got a couple here, and I like him because he shared gifts for them, but he's got Eternal Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got Dumb and Dumber, and it's the clip of Carrie sticking his ass out at the bar when he's like showing off his tushy, you know what I mean?
I'll stand here.
Is she looking at me now?
I'll stand here at the bar.
Oh, man. Love that. Ashley Gorski, a friend of the show.
They killed their birds. They killed
also
birds.
Says Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Dan Brennick mentioned Ace Ventura, but he specifically mentioned When Nature Calls.
I guess
he prefers
the
sequel.
Let's be honest. It's just as good. It's just as good.
It really is.
I mean, it's a great
because
movie.
It's Ace Ventura, bro. I mean,
and that's the thing. Yeah. Ace Ventura 1 and 2 are almost like one movie. And you're like, you know, when he's a very, your request is not unlike your lower intestine. Stinky. And loaded with danger.
I like when he goes into the room, and this will be quick. When he goes into the room and they're all watching the clips or whatever, he goes, please don't get up. And they had no intention of they're just sitting there.
Bumblebee tuna.
All right. We got to wrap up. Last one I'll mention is Carmen Signe. I love her. She's a patron of the show. So, Beautiful. Of course, I'm going to mention her Beautiful. List.
Do it.
Here's her list. Man on the Moon, The Cable Guy, Liar Liar, Eternal Sunshine, Me, Myself, and Irene, Fun with Dick and Jane, and The Mask. That's Carmen's list.
We have
Andy.
You know what the thing is? We've stumbled on something here. People just love Jim Carrey.
They do.
We love you.
We discussed Mr. Jim Carrey today. It was a blast. Our next episode to wrap out March, which will be right in the height of March Madness, is going to be
Daddy.
Our top five sports movies.
Daddy.
But until we do that, why don't you give me your final thought for this Jim Carrey episode, brother?
The great thing about Jim Carrey is he's vulnerable. He's honest. And that's what artistry is all about. So take a lesson from Mr. James Emmanuel Carrey. I'm going to call him that from now on. Take a lesson from him and be honest and vulnerable in your life. Be honest. Open yourself up and give people a piece of you. You know, let them know who you are and don't be afraid to do that. Show your true colors.
I love it, brother. Andy, thank you so much, man. Until next time, we'll be throwing the football. We'll be shooting hoops. We'll be doing it. Actually, we're not going to do any of that. We're going to sit on our asses. We're going to talk about people doing that.
Like real men.
So the next episode with me and Andy, guys, will be our top five sports movies. Until then, this has been the top five Jim Carrey flicks. Mr. Jim Carrey, we love you, brother.
We love you, brother.
Keep doing what you do. I'm actually really, really looking forward to seeing you in the Sonic movie just because I haven't seen you on screen in so long. And I know he's going to bring that.
And if you're hurting, Jim, you need a loan, hit me up. I'll give you $10.
No, he's not. He's good. But you know he's going to bring that character to life, man. I mean, that movie's going to be awesome.
And it looks like, even from the previews, it looks like he's having a lot of fun.
Oh, man, it's just,
when Jim Carrey's having fun.
Hamming it up.
Yeah.
All right, until next time, Andy, I love you. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, man.
Andy, are you goofing on Elvis too, baby? Are we losing touch? If you believe they put a man on the moon, man on the moon.
Thank you for listening. Two Peas is an independent podcast. We rely on donations from our executive producers in order to release new content weekly. We would like to give a special thanks to all our current producers, Kathy Ross, Dan Brennick, Caleb Brownlee, Justin Esquivel, Paul Chomo, Carmen Signe, and Daniel Henderson. If you would like to become an executive producer and help us continue to release great content, please visit 2peasonapod at patreon.com or check out the show notes for this episode. Again, thank you for listening.